simple that way.
I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the City of Grover Beach City Council for Monday, October 4th, 2010. Would you all please stand with us and have a moment of silence for a loved one that has recently passed, and remain standing as we do our flag salute this evening. Thank you. One of the most fun parts of our night is when we get to have some of the youth come and lead us in the flag salute. These are students that are chosen by the principal and the teachers for doing a really good job in school, so we really look forward to this. Tonight's flag salute is going to be led by Ayumi. She is 7 years old and a second grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School. Learning English, math, science, art, and being with old and new friends are what she enjoys about school. She also likes the Bright Futures After School program. That is a wonderful program. She enjoys living on the Central Coast because of the beach, the weather, the Monarch Butterfly Sanctuary, and the elephant seals near her castle. And she also enjoys the people in our community. Ayumi would like to be an attorney, medical doctor, or a commercial pilot when she finishes school. What an ambitious young lady.
You all agree, huh?
I bet you. Her interests include singing, dancing, acting, painting, drawing, and designing. She and her mother are writing a children's book together. Outstanding. She is accompanied this evening by her principal, Jennifer Bowen, her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Smallwood, and her second grade teacher, Mrs. Dorman. So, Ayumi, would you like to come and lead us in the flag salute?
Please stand. Place your hand over your heart. Wait, did I put it up again? Okay. Please stand. Face the flag. Place your hand over your heart and recite with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Outstanding. Why don't you come here? We have a certificate of appreciation for you. Pledge, thank you. You want to try and let your dad take a picture?
All right. Smile.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work. We really appreciate you being here. Roll call, Donna.
Here.
Myers?
Here.
Councilmember Peterson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
Here.
And Mayor Schultz.
Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, can you cover our closed session announcements tonight?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council members, members of the public. On Monday, September 13, Council met in closed session on one item, and that was labor negotiations with the Grover Beach Police Officers Association. After reconvening an open session, there were no reportable actions taken.
Thank you, City Attorney. At this point, we're going to review the order of the agenda as presented by staff to the council and see if anyone wants to make any changes to the agenda as presented. If no changes, I'll accept a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, let's move into our ceremonial calendar this evening. This is item number one on the agenda, and this is a drawing to select monthly winners of the local economic stimulus program, Shop Local, Shop Loyal campaign. Administrative Services Director Chapman.
Mayor and City Council, tonight we're doing a drawing for 10 Shop and Dine gift certificates in the value of $50. We always encourage our citizens to continue to shop in Grover Beach, and we have had a few new businesses join us that have opened, and we look forward to adding more businesses.
Very good, and I think we have a guest here this evening who I didn't recognize. Supervisor Adam Hill is here with us this evening, so let's have him select the winners.
Okay. Cassandra Mesa.
Oh, good.
Nice.
We got nine more.
Oh, she's nice.
You don't know that easy.
First winner. The next winner is Steve Bergstrom.
He's won a lot.
And the next winner is B. McMahon. Marilee Costello.
Four.
I see there's some out-of-town winners. That's good.
Nice.
That's good.
Danielle Bainbridge.
Five more.
Jan Wells.
Jay Wells.
Rosemary Lucier.
Okay. Three more.
Jason Spears. Cassandra Mesa again.
Whoa. Wow. She scored.
Nice job.
She's been shopping.
Alan Johnson.
And let me just double check, but I think that's 10. We have 10.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Hill. Okay, the next item on our agenda is a proclamation declaring October 6, 2010 as Ride to Recovery Day. And I understand that there is a representative from the Kiwanis Club here to receive the proclamation. Very good. I'm going to read the proclamation, and then I'll come around, and we'll have an opportunity to make some comments. Okay? This is the proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring October 6, 2010, as so many in our armed forces not be forgotten. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim its appreciation of the Ride to Recovery program, honors the program's commitment to the wounded members of the armed forces, and declares October 6, 2010 as Ride to Recovery Day in the City of Grover Beach to honor the wounded soldiers of our great nation. So, if you come forward.
Starts up in Sacramento and goes down south. They're going to be stopping here on Wednesday, October 6th, and you're invited. We'll be presenting this proclamation to them on October 6th at the South County Regional Center at a dinner that the Greater Pismo Beach Kiwanis is preparing for them. And then they'll be leaving on Thursday morning, October 7th, and they'll be riding down Highway 1. And we encourage everyone to get out there and support them, because these men and women have fought hard for us and they've sacrificed. And it's our way of showing that we do care and we understand, and it's our way of giving back. So thank you very
thank
much.
You. Did any members on the council have any comments on that on the proclamation? Okay, our second proclamation tonight, which is item 3 on the agenda, is a proclamation declaring October 3rd through the 9th 2010 is Fire Prevention Week. Chief Hubert will receive the proclamation on behalf of the Five Cities Fire Authority. And so I'm going to read this, and then Chief, you want to come forward. Proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring Fire Prevention Week 2010. And whereas the City of Grover Beach is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living and visiting our city, and whereas fire is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are where people are at greatest risk to a fire, and whereas nearly 3,000 people die each year as a result of home fires, and roughly two-thirds of home fire deaths resulted from home fires in which no working smoke alarms were present. Working smoke alarms cut the chance of dying in a reported fire in half. And whereas the National Fire Protection Association recommends at least one smoke alarm on every level of the home, outside all sleeping areas and in all bedrooms, and whereas informing the public about the importance of smoke alarm installation and maintenance serves an essential step toward increasing the public safety from home fires, and whereas Grover Beach's first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire deaths and injuries throughout or through prevention and proper education, and whereas Grover Beach's residents are responsive to public education measures and are able to take personal responsibility to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes, and whereas the Fire Prevention Week 2010, October 3rd through the 9th, theme, Smoke Alarms, a Sound You Can Live With, actively works to motivate Grover Beach residents to implement smoke alarm recommendations in their homes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby declare October 3rd through the 9th, 2010, as Fire Prevention Week throughout the city, and urges all people of Grover Beach to protect their homes and families by heeding the potentially life-saving
methods. Fire Authority and our fire prevention efforts. Also, I would like for you to know that the Five Cities Fire Authority takes fire and life safety as top priority for protection of people in our communities, not just the residents, but also the visitors. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Okay, moving on to public communications. This is an opportunity for members of our community to come forward and address the council on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes total. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on any items not on the agenda this evening. So please step forward and state your name and city of residence for the record.
Your Honor, Mr. Mayor and Honorable Council, I'm Adam Hill, Grover Beach resident and your representative to the Board of Supervisors, and I'm happy to be here to give you a little preview of next week's Board of Supervisors strategic planning session, where we'll have a forecast of the county's budget situation. That'll be next week. Usually after a holiday we have strategic planning sessions, and that will focus on the budget. So we have good news and bad news. Though the bad news is not particularly surprising. We are continuing, of course, to see a shortage in revenues as opposed to expenses, and so we have, as we have had in previous years, forecasting another budget deficit. We closed one for this current fiscal year, $17 million. Previous fiscal year, $30 million. Before that, $15 million. We're looking at about $10 million for the coming one. The hope was that there would be a five-year sort of pain management plan. It's now looking closer to 7 years. And that's essentially, as you know, because the economy is pretty much staying flat. It isn't getting worse. It's not getting better in great strides. In the county, we were seeing sales tax and TOT in county areas pretty much remaining flat. Property tax, which is our main source of revenue, dropped about 1% the past year. We expect in the next fiscal year it'll be either the same or maybe flat. And, you know, when things start to pick up and property regains its value, we expect that will improve things. We have been able to, during this time, we've reduced about 225 positions. Happily, we've been able to do so without layoffs, mostly through attrition, and we have also used incentives for early retirement. We expect that there'll be, in the next fiscal year, probably at somewhere between 30 and 50, and hopefully we'll be able to do it with attrition as well. So we have been reducing the county staff. We have been reducing the size of the county government, but we have done so without really inflicting too much pain on people, which is the good news. We continue to move forward with our reform on compensation and pension, and we'll have a further discussion of that next week, too. But so far, with most of our bargaining units, we did hire an outside labor law firm to help us create a sort of rational universe in our pay so that we can interpret our prevailing wage ordinance in a way that's more fair to everybody, including the taxpayer. We're going to be rolling out a second tier for pension in January for future employees.
Anyone have any questions? And I know this is public communications. And what I'm thinking, Supervisor Hill, is maybe going forward, we really appreciate you coming and giving this update, that perhaps we should put him on the agenda as a presentation, and we can ask questions, and that way we can keep moving forward. But thank you. A lot of great information.
Okay. Be happy to, and I can arrange that at some point with your city manager.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communication? Please come forward.
Mayor, City Council, my name is Phyllis Molnar. I'm a resident of Grover Beach. In the last meeting, you talked about whether or not to replace the trees that have been put in on Grand Avenue and part of the enhancement project with Canary Island date palms. I decided to look into the matter, and I have a little bit of of a description and some figures for you, and I also took some pictures. What I did is I called up Rincon Gardens in Ventura. They specialize in palms. And I asked them about the Canary Island date palm, and he gave me some really useful information. First of all, like most palm trees, they have fairly non-invasive roots. But because of the width or the girth of the Canary Island, which can be at least 3 feet when they are a mature tree, they do send out a network of roots that he said will eventually damage the medium if they are put down the center of the street. They are not advisable by sidewalks nor by buildings. They are beautiful trees. Like I said, they have a 3-foot dimension of their trunk. Their fronds can go out as far as 12 feet. Now, if it is put down the center of the street, you're going to have an issue with the fronds hitting the vehicles, unless you buy an extremely large tree. And we're talking at least a 15-foot tree. And if you do that, he gave me some prices, and you're talking per foot of the tree, anywhere from $450 to $500 per foot. And installation is anywhere from $100 to $200 per foot. So you're looking at trees that are going to cost anywhere from $9,000 to $10,500 apiece. I think this is a really serious matter. You should consider whether or not we can afford this expenditure. A lot of the population, people I've met on the street, talked to, are very, very happy with what they've seen done. They like it very, very much. And I think a lot of people do not like the idea of having further expenditure there. I have this available, and I will give this to you. And I think it's something that you should look at in the future, because I know that the palms are considered an integral part of our image. And what we have now is very good. And I know when we continue the enhancement project down Grand Avenue, there is a thought of swapping the trees. And I, myself, as a resident, advise against it. Thank you.
And Ms. Molnar, can you make sure you give a copy of that to the city manager and the city clerk, and they will distribute it to us? Thank you for that information. Is there anyone else?
Sad that your supervisor didn't stick around to see what somebody else had to say. Even my wife complains in that big pickup about going over that. That's sad. I was in a medical institution the other day. I'm flipping my leg, yeah. And this couple told me that, do you know how much people getting paid down there? I said, no, I don't see their paycheck. But I think you should put it out there in front, what you people get. Because they told me that they knew, far back, they thought, from former counsel, that they got $500,000 in 1 year. That could probably fix that street over there, you think? I mean, that's sad if we pay that much money, and that's why our streets aren't big. So you're on call, and we had the supervisor sitting here, and other towns are getting streets paved and fixed faster than we are. It's always been a fact that whoever is on call gets what they would like to have and need for their city. I don't think we're getting it from you. So that's why I'm going to say, I don't think you're qualified to set them. I really do. And I've seen them all from...
John, keep your comments on subject matters, not personal attacks.
I got the First Amendment. I have the right to speak. And the second thing is, I talked to him about the situation where you slid in home, painter. So I want you to tell me how I was out of order. Because I followed this little sheet of paper. And there's no difference that night from this agenda here. And I didn't hear what the lady said, because I'm hard to hear. That's why I talk loud. So I want you to run that by me. How was I out of order? I really want to know.
Are those your comments?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, John. I'm going to give someone else an opportunity to address this, and you and I can discuss this afterwards if you'd like.
Good
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council during public communications this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the council. And City Manager, have you had any conversations with Mr. Weisong regarding?
Yes, I have, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So then he and I can have a discussion.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I provided him over the phone with what my observations were on that particular evening, and I also said I would put those observations in writing.
Okay. And then, John, we'll be in touch so we can talk about that, because we want you to feel like you can come here and make comments. And so we will get your response, but we want to keep tonight's meeting moving in an orderly fashion. So with that, I'm going to move into our public hearings this evening. This is item number 4. This is an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity for the Tri-Counties Transit, Inc., doing business as Beach Cities Cab. Police Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. You have before you an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity for Tri-County. Gower Beach Municipal Code, Section 3400, has specific guidelines on what is required when we look at a person applying for a certificate of public convenience. And each one of those sections is highlighted in the staff report listing hopefully a satisfactory answer to that. But Mr. Babion has applied. His business location will be on Tank Farm in San Luis Obispo. He did purchase Beach City's cab, which in the past was an authorized cab company to operate in Grover Beach. It previously had 4 cabs, and Mr. Babion has listed 20 taxi cabs. Those 20 taxi cabs and the drivers have yet to be approved. They go through a different process through the police department for application of the driver and certification of the taxi cabs. All of those are listed in the attachment of the make, the type, the license, and the VIN numbers. Mr. Babion will maintain the existing color scheme of the taxi cabs, so there's no change there. And a little bit of further information, Mr. Babion has been in the taxi cab paratransit industry since 1978 in the Los Angeles, Ventura, and Santa Barbara counties. He has managed several successful city and state transit contracts, including dial-a-ride, senior, and handicapped transportation. A further background has been included, and I won't go into all of that. At this point, one of the sections talks about the application, the experience, and the color scheme, and staff contacted other cities where Mr. Babion operates and did not find any disqualifying information. Mr. Babion has provided staff with his background information, which is in Attachment 7, outlining all of the company's experience. Mr. Babion also provided staff with bank statements, which I did not provide as public record, and staff had determined he met our expectations regarding that responsibility, this financial responsibility. The fares are listed, and at this point, staff recommends the City Council determine there is a public convenience and need for the taxi company Tri-County Transit and adopt resolution granting the certificate of public convenience and necessity to Masood Babion to operate Tri-County's Transit within this Grover Beach city limits. I think Mr. Babion is here to answer any questions, as I will be able to answer any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions of Chief Copsey, Mayor Pro Tem Nichols?
First, I want to thank you, Chief. Did an outstanding job. I was kind of overwhelmed with all of the letters of recommendation on his background and his service to other communities, but I thank you very much for providing us with that. I do have a question as to his operation. He will operate as Tri-Counties Transit Incorporated, operating DBA as Beach City Cabs, Yellow Cab, and Checker Cab. So will all three of those companies be operating cabs in Grover Beach?
They will be, from my understanding, it will be operating as one company, and those cabs will be operating within the county. They also may operate within Grover Beach if we authorize the cabs and the color schemes. And maybe Mr. Babion might have a little more specifics on how the operation of that would work with his company.
A very good job in other communities with the information that the chief has provided us that you obviously provided to him. The same question I asked him, what cab companies are we going to identify operating in Grover Beach?
In the counties of Ventura and Santa Barbara, we're required to operate. Our operation is under the names of Yellow Cab and Checker Cab. And those two names nationwide, when you look at other cities, such as bigger cities, New York, Chicago, etc., the Yellow Cab and the Checker Cab are known, well-known names in the industry. So from a marketing standpoint, especially for people that are visiting as tourists in this area, I would think that they will recognize those names and it would just be good business. The name Beach City Cab, just simply because it's been in this area for over 10 years and has managed to build a very good reputation among the residents of this county, I think it's very smart for us to continue keeping that name and operating under that name as well. The color scheme would remain to be the same, the yellow color, but majority of the cabs are going to be named as Yellow Cab, and there may be just a few that would be operating under the names of Checker as well as Beach City.
You had indicated that you will be operating 20 cabs, but I assume that you will not be operating 20 cabs in Grover Beach. Is that correct?
Correct. Basically, right now, within the San Luis Obispo County and the city of San Luis Obispo, Beach City Cab has always been licensed for 20 cabs, and they operated 20 cabs. Just recently, we have gone through inspections, both for mechanical inspection as well as meter inspection with the Department of Weight and Measure, which was all done successfully. And we maintained to get a grant by the city of San Luis Obispo for all 20 permits. So we figured since it would to give an opportunity to all drivers that in case they drop a customer in Grover Beach or any of the other cities, if there are customers waiting or calling for service, to be able to return those customers either locally or to other cities and to give that privilege to every single one of them. But at any given time, you're absolutely right. You're not going to see all 20 cars parked and within the geographic area of the Grover Beach.
I suspect it. Okay, the last question I have, you are setting up an operation on Tank Farm Road in San Luis Obispo, but I believe from the information I have that you are going to continue with your main headquarters in Camarillo. Is that correct, or are you going to have administrative people here also, or is that strictly going to be a maintenance facility?
My intention was to come here for a couple of months and go through the license transfers with all the cities and just get a grip on the business and hire a local manager. But I must say that in such short time, I fell in love with the area. And I actually just got my place here. I'm going to be running the operation on a daily basis myself here. The office on Tank Farm Farm will conduct the dispatching, management. Pretty much we're going to run this business locally. As far as marketing, being involved with the local chamber of commerce and et cetera, dealing with the airport, I feel like it's an area that has a lot of potential and we want to be able to.
Okay, any other questions?
No questions, I have a comment.
Okay, you want to hold those until I close. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the council on this item?
Hey, how are you? My name is Jeff Goldenberg, and almost 12 years taxi service to multiple counties, tons and tons of city council meetings. Grover Beach's best asset is Donna McMahon. She's a great lady. So you know that. She's a great lady.
Jeff, tell us something we don't know. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else coming forward, I'm going to close this to the public and bring it back to the council, and let's have some discussion. Councilmember Peterson.
Well, I appreciated the extra information just because I always have an interest in businesses. And I have to say, from having looked at it, I think we're honored to have you in our community. And I'm glad you're going to stick around. And I also, from personal experience, in other countries and other cities of bad taxi service, I think it'll be a great thing to have a professional taxi service as we grow. So thank you for choosing Grover Beach.
Anyone else? Okay. I'll just say that those were excellent questions from the Mayor Pro Tem. I actually had those written down, so I don't need to ask those. And the one last comment I will make is that looking at the fares and comparing them to other taxis, they obviously will be very competitive. And so I'm going to support this as well. So someone want to make a motion on this item?
I'll move for staff's recommendation.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then item five is an application for a certificate of public convenience. However, it looks like it was requested to be withdrawn by the applicant, so therefore we don't need to take any action this evening. Is that correct, City Attorney?
Yeah, thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council members, I think by motion and a voice vote, it would be good to table this item.
Oh, okay.
I'll move then that we table that.
Okay.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move on to item number six, and this is fiscal year 11 citizens option for the public safety grant, or better known as COPS. Chief Copsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. You have before you, as soon as I find it here, the 2010-2011 citizens option for public safety COPS grant. In 1997, the state enacted the Citizens Option for Public Safety COPS grant. This program annually allocates funds for local law enforcement frontline delivery of services. These funds must be used to augment but not replace existing funds for law enforcement services. Since 1997, they've eventually got the funds up for small cities, up to $100,000, and it's stayed there for several years now. It continues to be a yearly grant provided by the state with the intent that it is spent to supplement expenditures. Again, in this year, we received $100,000 plus, last year we received $100,000 plus interest, and those were budgeted to fund a dispatcher position and one part-time detective, and any funds left over we spent on overtime to enhance operations or equipment as for frontline services. Last year, the grant was spent on that. We'll be submitting that report, expenditure report, to the Oversight Committee. It was spent for a full-time dispatcher, for a part-time police detective, and for some overtime. We did not use any of the funds for equipment or programs or supplies. With the adoption of the FY11 budget, the City Council set aside the entire $100,000 to fund the dispatcher position and fund additional police overtime and fund equipment for frontline services if there's any left over. And that was previously approved with a two-year budget. Under the current MOU, a dispatcher working for this FY11 year, the estimated total cost for the salary and benefits would be $82,000. Overtime, a portion of the remainder of the grant will be used to is planned to be used to supplement personnel overtime for special operations dictated by the availability of personnel depending on what's going on in order to effectively staff the agency and special projects, as I mentioned. If there's funds, if we're able to manage those overtime costs, well, then any monies left over will be used for frontline equipment. And I've got we usually put together wish lists, stuff that we cannot budget for, items that we kind of have in mind if there's money left over toward the end of the fiscal year. At this point, staff recommends that the City Council adopt the resolution approving the recommended allocation to the FY11 COPS funds, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Nice staff report. Any questions? Any questions to my left? None? Any questions? Great. This is a public hearing, so I'm going to open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address this item before the council this evening? Seeing that, I'm going to close it to the public, bring it back to the council. Any discussion? If no discussion, is someone prepared to make a motion? Mayor Pro Tem Nichols.
I can make a motion. I would like to comment, as much for the benefit, I guess, of the people at home as any, as well as the rest of the council members. We probably all recognize this is one of those programs or one of those items that the state has continues to take money from the local community, and then they turn right around and give it back to us. But they give it back to us with all sorts of criteria and demands on us. And we have to go through this procedure. There was a time when we kept our money, the tax money that we collected from the homeowners, and we used it within our community, and we were able to accomplish a lot of things. But the state has started taking more and more and more money, and as a result, that's why we get these, quote, grants, which is nothing more than the state giving back the money to the community.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. We're going to move on to our consent agenda this evening. This is an agenda in which we take routine items, and they are considered as a group. Do any members of the council want to pull any items from consent this evening?
No.
Not here.
No. None? I have no request from the public to pull any items from consent. So if there's no additional discussion, there are four items on the consent agenda this evening. If you've got it in your agenda, you'll see there's Treasurer's Report for the period of September 8th through the 29th, 2010. There are various minutes from several meetings, one for March 15th, City Council meeting, a joint City Council Improvement Agency meeting on March 15th, March 29th, April 5th, City Council meeting, and also April 5th for a joint meeting. There's also a second reading regarding the city use of city symbols, and then finally a recommendation to retain the services of GEI consultants to conduct a quarterly groundwater monitoring. So with that, is someone prepared to make a motion on the consent agenda?
I'll make a motion that we accept the consent agenda items as presented.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Donna. Let's move on to our regular business items this evening. This is item number 11 on our agenda, and this is a local street rehabilitation program. Public Works Director, City Engineer, Mr. Greg Ray. You have the floor.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council, and members of the public in the audience. Agenda item 11 is the consideration of a short-term street rehabilitation strategy and street selection criteria. For background, in 2007, City Council adopted a resolution number 0775, which outlined a set of criteria to be used by staff in pre-selecting a list of streets for council approval. And that would be that list of streets would go to the council for approval of an annual street rehabilitation program. That resolution 0775 is included as attachment 1 to the staff report that you have this evening. The original selection criteria relies primarily on results of a street condition ratings found in the city's pavement management system. The condition rating is a numerical scale from 0 to 100 called the pavement condition index. And a street of 0 is essentially a gravel road, and 100 would be a newly paved street. Resolution 0775 required staff to select the majority of streets at a PCI between 60 and 80. Approximately 75% of the streets would be selected in that range, so fairly nice streets. And the remainder, 25% of streets selected for the list each year, would be those with a PCI between 0 and 20. That criteria is pretty much in keeping with recommendations of the American Institute of Asphalt Maintenance. Pretty much most other municipalities have adopted something similar to that. It's called the Best First Federal Grant Funding for Street Repair and Maintenance Costs. Unfortunately, the grant and local funding sources, as you heard earlier from Councilman Pro Tem, Council Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, some of that grant funding comes back with strings or doesn't come back at all. And that's currently the situation. The currently available funding, which is approximately $800,000 per year, is just simply not enough to maintain all of the city streets using the current city street selection criteria. It would be considerably more. I don't have an exact estimate working with a consulting engineering firm to update the pavement management system, but I can assure you it would probably be as much as three times that amount or more per year. So as a result, if we continue to move ahead in the strict PCI condition approach, it's my impression that the overall condition of city streets would continue to decline. So my recommendation tonight is to consider adoption of a short-term rehabilitation strategy. And I've listed some major components of that strategy. If you look on the easel here, the streets that are colored, and hopefully they're colored well enough that you can see, yellow, orange, and red here, or actually on the overhead behind me, the streets that are all orange here. Those are the city's major arterials and collectors. And so basically, as a result of your general plan circulation element, those are the streets that have been identified and that have geometric characteristics such that they serve the majority of the population. You know, they lead to or from somewhere important, either connection to the highway or connecting local neighborhoods or direct access to the beach or whatever it may be. The major components of my recommendation tonight are related to what you see in front of you, and that is focus the majority of your available funds on those streets used most by the public, these streets you see. Give priority to those streets that support the city's economic development goals. You know, and that's something you've done just recently. For example, South 4th Street and sections of 4th Street here, closer to the 100 block. The enhancements on West Grand Avenue, for example, and up on Atlantic City. Improve the condition of the most used streets, these streets, to an average PCI, pavement condition index, of approximately 60, and maintain them at that level basically forever. That's my recommendation. This is expected to result in a network of priority streets that can be maintained with available funding sources well into the future. A fourth component is to use a variety of pavement rehabilitation methods designed to achieve a sustainable system of streets at the lowest overall cost. These methods range from slurry seals to localized repairs and ultimately overlays or complete replacement. But I want to focus, I'd like to focus the majority of the city's pavement rehabilitation money on the lower cost maintenance strategies that hopefully extend the streets for the longest period of time for the lowest amount of money. And then the fifth component is once the most cost-effective primary street projects have been identified and implemented, utilize the remainder of the available funding to rehabilitate streets based on that original PCI criteria. And that provides sort of a criteria that doesn't involve, you know, basically West Grand, 4th, Oak Park, the streets that everybody recognizes as the major city streets. But in addition to those streets, and they're not highlighted above, there's a couple small street sections right around West Grand Avenue that are identified as truck routes. I can show you. They overlap here on this drawing, but if you look on the overhead here, and if I can find West Grand, there's the Pacific Ocean. This little collection of streets right here, which I'm probably obliterating with my pen, are also identified additionally as truck routes. So they're not major arterials or collectors, but they have been identified as streets to get large vehicles to and from businesses along Front Street and along Ramona and Rockaway area. Okay, so there are currently no funds allocated to the local street rehabilitation project. Now, I want to clarify that. It's not that there are no funds allocated to street rehabilitation, just the project in particular, and that's, let's see if I can find the number, CIP 386, which is just a local street rehabilitation project. The funding for that this fiscal year and next fiscal year has been allocated to two other projects. Those projects were the South 4th Street project, which is currently in construction, and the Long Branch Avenue Demonstration Project. In fiscal year 12, Council has allocated roughly $730,000 for local street rehabilitation. If the proposed short-term street rehabilitation strategy is approved by Council, we're recommending that we would return to Council with a proposed project and a list of future projects designed to maintain your primary arterials and collectors as suggested at a PCI of approximately 60. As an alternative, Council may wish to consider delaying the Long Branch Demonstration Project this year. That project is proposed to go out to construction in the near future. However, the project is primarily related to work around the Grover Beach Elementary School, which means we would be doing work during the school year. We're attempting that right now at Grover Heights Elementary. The good news is it's going very well so far. We've had no complaints. But it may be prudent to consider delaying that project and taking the $216,000 of non-grant funding that's allocated towards street maintenance in that project and moving it to a street project this year. So that's an option that staff is providing for Council consideration. The fiscal impact, recommended short-term street rehabilitation strategy can be implemented using the funding levels that are currently approved in the two-year budget and moving ahead in the future with that funding level of approximately $800,000 per year. If Council chooses to delay the Long Branch Demonstration Project, staff would recommend transferring $216,000 to the local street rehabilitation project this year, and the Long Branch project would be constructed in the summer using local street rehabilitation funds that are identified for the next fiscal year. So it would just be a swap of those discretionary funds, essentially. So the alternatives provided to you tonight are to adopt the recommended short-term street rehabilitation strategy and street selection criteria based on that strategy.
Concern that we got a lot of streets out there that are just starting to deteriorate, and if we just could get some money now to save those streets from further deteriorating in the long run, we save ourselves lots and lots of money. I'm not using my street as an example, but it's an old street, 20-some-odd years old, and it's starting to checker. And if it had a slurry on it, I'm sure it would last another 20 years or something. There are a lot of those streets around, and I'd like to see us take whatever money we could. I would go for the second alternative, just to get some money now to attack those streets, and knowing that you will do a good job from what you tell me. You've got it all figured out to where we go and how we use our money the best to preserve what we have and not let it further deteriorate. So my first question is, tell us what you have, what you're proposing to use this money for now, the streets, and what type of projects.
Okay, well, I don't have a list of streets but I have some numbers that might be interesting for your consideration. If you look at just your collectors and arterials, you have 2,277,000 square feet of asphalt, approximately.
That's staggering.
So 2,277,000 square feet of asphalt in those highlighted streets. If you used a system of slurry seals, cape seals, and overlays at approximately the most recommended time for each of them, and you used that to extend all those pavements to a PCI of 60 or better over 30-year lifespan, which is basically using current technology in pavement management, every 30 years you do an overlay. So if at the end of that overlay, after 30 years, you put down approximately 3 slurry seals, 1 cape seal, and 1 overlay, your total cost over 30 years would be about $11.7 million. Dividing that by 30 years, it's an annual rehabilitation cost of $390,000 per year.
Wow.
It's good news. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get there today. You've got some streets that are in worse condition than street. You know, we're not all up to a PCI of 60, so we can start there. But as a short-term strategy, until other funds are identified, at some point in the future, you could get to a point where you're only spending $390,000 a year for the rest of our lives in the foreseeable future to maintain those streets that you see in orange, yellow, and red up here. If you continue with an annual funding of approximately $800,000 And this doesn't account for any additional grant funding or other options we may have, bond funding to pick up some of these other streets. Just with the $800,000, you'd have approximately $410,000 left over on an annual basis to consider other streets. Now, just so that you can get a sense of what $410,000 would do. There's just a little orange dot on that map, and that represents a block between 4th Street and 8th Street. Hopefully everyone can see that. Doesn't look like orange up there, does it? That's between 4th and 8th, West Grand, and Newport. So there's a block of about, 5th, 6th, and 7th Streets in the 100, 200, and 300 block. With the money that would remain, if you completely ground down and overlaid those streets, you could do about 65% of that block. 65% of that.
Probably something I could have analyzed and I didn't, is I know that our criteria previously had also been that we would try to maintain access to public amenities and public facilities. Does what you're proposing do that for us?
I think so. The only real standout in there, I think, is really Ramona. It's not included in your arterials and collectors, and of course Ramona provides the access to the E station and the Ramona Park area and Ramona Center. But you do have 8th Street, which runs right by it, and some proposed improvements to 9th, which would also provide access to that park area.
Thank you.
And I would say the schools also don't fall in that category. So the Long Branch Demonstration Project it falls outside of the recommended criteria. So let's keep moving to Mayor Pro Tem. Do you have any questions?
I have one question. You threw out some figures there over the long term, doing X number of streets with an overlay and a slurry coat every 3 years. We have some streets.
Not every over a 30-year period.
Yes,
you'd be doing a slurry seal about every 7 or 8 years. After 3 7- or 8-year periods, you'd be doing what's called a cape seal, and then at the end of 30 years, to bring it back up to a PCI of about 100, you'd be doing an overlay.
Okay, we have some streets now that I believe have to be rebuilt from the base up, yes. not just an overlay. And that's, I believe, considerably more expensive to rebuild the street than it is to just put an overlay on it.
Yes, and that's always the challenge. What you want to do, and I'm saying this, I'm not the guy who invented this stuff, but the generally recognized standard for street maintenance programs and rehabilitation programs is to not find yourself in that situation. You don't ever want to get to where a street needs to be completely torn out and replaced, because the cost per square foot over the lifespan of that street is so much greater than extending it out over a 30-year period and then doing an overlay.
Sure.
But that being said, yes, you do have quite a few streets that are getting to the point where there's not going to be a small short-term strategy that will repair them. But there are some options out there that haven't been tried in the city of Grover Beach. Santa Barbara just recently adopted a program called a scrub cape seal. And it's a very interesting product. It uses a product called PASS-CR. Older versions of that product were called Reclamite. It had a number of names. But it's basically a product that soaks into the pavement and that rejuvenates the volatiles, the oils that were originally in that pavement, and also acts as a binding agent to bind the broken and alligator cracked pavement together. You follow that with a chip seal that fills in the cracks and a slurry over the top. And that product has been shown to be very effective in treating streets that look like they probably should have an overlay. Santa Barbara, you find yourself in a no man's land between a slurry seal and spot repairs.
I see the additional funds being available for the other streets.
I would say it's going to be more than 5 years. I don't have the pavement management system updated with the current numbers yet. It would be a ballpark guess, but between 5 and 10 years.
Okay, so between 5 and 10 years. So then this short-term strategy then basically would focus only on those collectors and arterials and so on. Is that correct?
It would focus primarily on that. You know, there's a there's an efficiency in designing a street project, and I think there's plenty of experts out there, and I have some experience myself and have access to other consultants who have a ton of experience in designing the most efficient street project. It's not always most efficient to spend all of your money with a particular criteria. And I think we can spend the majority of our money on arterials and collectors, but at some point, it's not going to make sense on any given year to go beyond a certain project, either based on the kind of product being put down or the location of the particular street versus another street all the way across town. So I think our job as staff, and certainly if we selected a consultant to help in this process, our job would be to provide the most cost-effective street project that meets this criteria. It's undoubtedly true that money would be left over from that project. Using that money, we would come back with a list of other alternatives for council and say, you know, we think these falling streets we could move on to. They're either near the project we're doing, they're similar to the project we're doing, or they're just an automatic extension of the project we're doing. And so there's ways of most economically using those street dollars and keeping it, you know, making it a very cost-effective program.
Thank you.
So just a couple of clarifications. And the staff had written in your report that primarily the selection criteria relies primarily on the results of street condition ratings. And actually, for the record, when the criteria was established in 2007, we had not even completed the pavement management system. The pavement management system was supposed to be part of the selection criterion, and it's clear that you've kind of gone in a new direction. So I'm glad we're having this discussion tonight. But let me ask you this question regarding the comment of improving streets to an average PCI of 60. So obviously what you're saying is anything that's 61 and above, we would not maintain, or would you think we'd be maintaining that with a different funding source?
The street maintenance strategy that I'm proposing, you would, as a street condition index, if you will, drops, the condition of the street as it drops to a certain level, approximately a PCI in the neighborhood of 40, for example, you would start looking at that street and you would try to determine the optimum time when a slurry seal would be appropriate. I'm saying this is some point in the future where all the streets have made it to 60. You know, no one's going to complain about a street with a PCI of 60.
So then how would you reconcile, because I think Councilmember Peterson touched on this, we can talk about arterials and collectors, but the fact of the matter is there are public institutions, quasi-public institutions, the schools that are heavily used by parents and other folks. Long Branch is one that screams out at me. It's not on this list. So, you know, we would need to find a way to deal with streets like that. So have you given that any consideration?
I have, and I'm certainly, you know, I'm not suggesting that this is the ultimate list, if you will. This is just the list of collectors and arterials. So functionally, in your general plan, these are the streets that have been identified as most people using. There are other criteria that could be applied, certainly. I think Long Branch is a case where it does access the school. And if Long Branch were in really good shape, you know, we all recognize it's a very wide street. A lot of folks are likely to use it as a collector or an arterial, even though it's not designated that way in your general plan. So certainly other streets like that we could just add into this, just as you did with Resolution 0775, that we could add some modifiers to this system. And I'd be happy to take direction from council.
Okay, and then what streets are right now in the queue? Because I know that there was a list of streets that was presented to this council that we as a group, said these are the ones we want to move forward on. Do you know what the streets those are?
Do you have a copy of the CIP sheet from 283? It's Project 283.
I don't. The streets that were shown in the current street rehab program are all basically done, but there was a staff report that had a recommendation or a street list, and I don't have it in front of me. I apologize.
Okay.
Most of the streets on that list were completed, and I, off the top of my head, I can't think of which one wasn't, but it was Atlantic, which was done. It was 4th and South 4th, which were done.
Okay.
Portion of Oak Park, 12th was on that list at one point. Yeah.
Okay.
If you look on this map that's on the easel here, all those streets that are darked out in black there, those are the street projects that have been completed since 98, and I think you might recognize a number of those streets.
And the reason I ask this question is staff has obviously decided that you're going to come back and recommend we come up with some different selection criteria. I'm certainly not one that is a fan of changing things midstream, and I understand the limitations and resources, but there's also a list that was produced that people out there have seen, and so I want to be very careful about how we go forward. I think this is a good direction, but we need to make sure that there aren't other streets that have been identified, and now we're going to say we're changing the criteria, and this means something different is going to get done. And that's not a question, but I wanted to just clarify why I asked that question. And then, Greg, it seems to me that the engineer's estimate on South 4th Street was higher. Okay. So then my last question I'm going to ask is, I know staff in your recommendation, you're saying let's change the short-term criteria and then you will come back with a list of streets. Is there anything that would prohibit the council from giving direction to move forward this year on a street? I know Long Branch is one that's out there. I don't know if it's designed and if it's ready to go. Is that the intent or?
The intent of providing the alternative was to provide the council some flexibility. Right now, we have Long Branch that is in the CIP and is ready to go. Some of staff's thinking with that is the council, because of the interaction with the school itself, is that we essentially would delay that particular project until June or July after the new fiscal year, so that it would be going be done when the school isn't present, and we could then rebudget those dollars to a project in the current year. That was some of our thinking.
Okay, and thank you for that clarification. So then that kind of leads me to another series of questions, and really the question becomes, if the council chooses to defer that project to the next fiscal year, did you say it's been designed and it's ready to go or not?
What is the status, Greg?
I'd say the design's at about 60%. I don't think it's a big leap to move from there to construction drawings ready to bid.
Okay.
It could go fairly quickly.
Okay. Because I think there's been some discussion about how do we continue to do streets. And I understand we need to have a short-term and a long-term plan. But, you know, we do one street, and then it seems like months go by before we start the next. And I think we need to do a better job of using the resources we have to continue to get streets and projects done sooner than later. And I know there are challenges with the resources, but, you know, I think there's also some ways to talk about design earlier than later. Then there is the Safe Routes to School component to Long Branch. So would those funds be in danger if we chose to defer that project? Or is there a component of that would be able to move forward, such as the extension of sidewalks and things of that nature to improve safety for the children walking to Grover Beach Elementary School?
That is part of the reason that Long Branch isn't on the shelf ready to bid right now. I don't think that the project would move forward very well with just the Safe Routes to School funding. Again, coming back to something that Mayor Pro Tem Nichols said earlier, you know, the grant funding comes to you with so many strings attached. The components of the project that the Safe Routes to School grant funding are approved to fund, there's very specific components of it. It provides a very disjunct project. It wouldn't end up being a good project. You wouldn't see the street getting paved, for example. You'd see little patches of sidewalk here and there. And so I think the real benefit that we want to see happen to Long Branch in front of the school is primarily funded by your local dollars. And the Safe Routes to School grant money is filling in these
CDBG dollars, if you'll recall, for sidewalks in the area that you're speaking of.
Okay, and then there's no risk of losing those funds if we delay this project?
I did verify that, and you have an entire another school year to spend the funds.
Okay. Good, and I'll have comments later. So those are all the questions I have at this point. This is a business item. We usually don't open this to the public, but given the subject matter, I'm going to open this to the public and see if anyone would like to address the council on this item. No one from the public interested in commenting tonight. Okay. I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. So let me kind of set the table for us, because I appreciate staff coming back and the challenges with resources and trying to establish the criteria. But I will say that it always concerns me when we say, let's change the criteria and then we'll come back later with streets. And I never know what the timing is. We're in October now, and I'd like to get I would hope we would want to do streets, and I think Councilmember Myers touched on this, streets under construction this year. And so, you know, in my mind, we really need to talk about a couple of things. And the first is, are we comfortable going forward with the criteria as recommended by staff tonight? That's the first part of it. And do we want to make changes to that? The second part of this is, do we want to delay the Long Branch project with the direction that it be put under starting construction next summer? And that means end of June or July, and then we can transfer those funds to another project. Now, I want to make sure that with staff, if they're saying do this tonight and we'll come back later, that it's not 2 months, 3 months. And so I would hope we would give direction, because I would say 4th Street and Atlantic City were projects that were done outside of the existing criteria. So I don't know why anything would prohibit us from saying we'd like to do West Grand. And I think John Weisong brought up a really good point tonight. West Grand Avenue between 8th and 11th, and even at the eastern end between 16th and Oak Park, are projects we should really be looking at, and we should be looking at today, not in 2 months. So let's kind of flip-flop this. Let's discuss Long Branch first and see what everyone's thinking.
I definitely think we ought to put Long Branch off till summertime. We're having enough trouble up at Grover Heights, and I think it's a good experience. We've learned from it. I see no reason. We're not going to lose the funding. I definitely think that is a part of it. Go one step further on that. I think the second alternative sounds pretty good to me as far as moving forward on this, and that does include putting Long Branch off till summer.
Okay. Councilmember Bright?
I'm comfortable with that as well, knowing that we're not going to lose the funding and so on. If in fact we truly move forward in the summer and it's ready to go and we're not,
I started out at that point that I certainly still believe we are to adopt resolution number 2 with the idea that we can use those funds to do the most good presently for our city streets, and the delay is not going to lose the grant money. I was concerned about that, but didn't ask the question. So there's no reason not to do it, as far as I'm concerned, and build that in the summer when his kids aren't there. That's another plus. And as you said, let's get all the pieces together. They're not together, then go with Long Branch. I won't adopt somebody that the mayor said. I walk up Grand Avenue, and we do have a couple of sore, three sore spots coming from the freeway down to our current improved world, and those should be pulled out sometime, and I think, and made a priority on some logical basis that will get them fixed without breaking the bank if we can. So I'm just joining the mayor with direction to the staff to think about that, is to talk about it when you come back. So.
Okay. So it seems like we have some consensus on delaying Long Branch, given the challenges not only with resources, but we don't want to be taking on a full-fledged project in front of a school when it's school's in session. I think the project on Grover Heights is a little more precise, and it's not a complete redo of the street in front of the school. But I would hope that we would take those funds and transfer it to another project, and that we would identify a project tonight to give staff that direction. And the reason I'm saying that is I understand staff wants to use the criteria to come back with a list of streets, but I think we've already made some exceptions to our existing criteria in doing 4th Street from one end of the city to the other end in Atlantic City. So I think we would exercise that discretion tonight to say there are parts of Grand Avenue that really need some attention, and they need it, and needs it immediately, and that's from 8th to 11th and 16th to Oak Park.
Mayor Scholes, if
yes.
I might, maybe I could suggest a direction to staff would be to find essentially the available funding in the Long Branch project, as well as potentially some available leftover funding from the South 4th project, which originally came from your street rehabilitation CIP project, and to at least address the conditions on West Grand Avenue. I think there's some other things we probably have to consider when looking at West Grand, and that's some of the other projects that are rolling eastward as we're trying to extend the storm drain project and ultimately trying to make some decisions on the West Grand master plan and potentially what we do at 9th Street. But I think we within the future projects coming, and with that direction from council, I think we can come up with a really good recommendation that addresses some of those short-term problems on West Grand, and also in keeping with the criteria that I've suggested tonight, maybe even picking up some other spots around town that are also kind of the real obvious problems.
Okay. So let me see if I can move this along. So I think we're looks like heading toward alternative net. My colleagues are in agreement with that, and so if someone would want to make a motion on, looks like what we've talked about is item number 2, with some direction to staff.
I had a couple of other discussion items. We've talked a little. We've touched on the fact that there may be almost a third list, which is some of the streets like Ramona and Long Branch that aren't feeder streets but aren't necessarily single-family residential streets either. And so more or less informally, all along we've clawed back grant money where we could from the state and from anywhere else we can get it. So I don't know if we ought to, I don't know if that's something that ought to be considered.
Well, and I think that's a great point, but I am not but let me just kind of fully
if it's going to happen anyway, if we believe that's going to happen, then I'm okay.
Yeah, I think the way staff has brought this forward tonight, I was less than thrilled with how it's been formulated, because we need to do streets today. But we also need to come up with a long-term strategy. And I think this could be a good jump off or a good springboard to having these workshops and having more details, because Greg has got some great information, and I'm afraid to ask him to talk about slurry seals and all that stuff, because I don't want us to bore every people to death tonight, and we have other items on the agenda. So to me, it really means a subsequent meeting to address the items of, are the more cost-effective methods to fix the streets, and the issue of those streets that kind of fall in that third tier. You're exactly right.
Okay, and I think that's a good point, that we don't get off track. The other thing, I have a plea. If there were any way that we could get this Grand Avenue, the issues resolved, not during the Christmas rush, not during the Christmas season, but either prior to or after. and it's the same if we're going to work on the drains, thinking about the timing again. I think we need to be really cognizant of our merchants out there. And we stopped the flooding, a lot of it, but let's not interfere with them at Christmas.
So what would you define as a Christmas season?
Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and the 1st of January.
Okay. So I think, well, let's...
Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Let's see if someone would like to make a motion on this and see where we're going.
I'll make a stab at it.
So okay.
If I might. First, I move we adopt alternative number 2 with direction to staff to come back and propose to council a methodology for adopting the streets that ought to be addressed in the very near future, and a methodology to handle and address the issues on Grand Avenue that we talked about, 8th to 16th and 16th to Oak Park, with the understanding we're not going to have any decision on those tonight, but we're looking to staff our direction at perhaps the next city council meeting. I think that covers my motion.
There's a motion and a second on the floor, and Debbie, I'm going to address your point. Maybe staff, when they come back with West Grand, of the best way to proceed, that they can talk scheduling as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. We've had quite a bit of discussion. I know there is no resolution, but let's do a roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember
Peterson.
Yes.
And Mayor Schultz.
Yes. Thank you, staff, for bringing forward the information. And I know it's a
good
tough
job,
subject.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a good report. I understood it.
And the only other thing I do want to add related to that topic is, in the past we had talked about some workshops in the community, and I think now's the time to have that conversation. And so looking at probably starting in December or January, having a meeting at the three elementary schools or Ramona, so that we can go into the community and talk about the streets, talk about the criteria, talk about what existing conditions, funds the situation. I've talked to Rhonda Carley from SLOCOG. He's willing to come and give us information. And then we can really truly find out what's the best way, what's the best long-term strategy. So this is probably something that we'll have to do outside of staff, because I know that you've got a lot on your plates already. And so we'll figure that out, how we address those workshops.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Okay. Very good.
Totally in support of that.
Good deal. So we'll have more discussion as we go. Yes.
Could I request a 5-minute break?
I'll join that. I got two requests, John.
You got that one? All right. Since Mr. Myers would like that, let's take a 5-minute break. I'm going to reconvene the regular meeting for the Grove Beach City Council on Monday, October 4th, 2010. And when we took a short break, we had just concluded on item number 11. So we are on item number 12, which is a recommendation regarding timing and costs associated with processing an amendment to Part 40. Community Development Director Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. At your last meeting, the Council directed staff to initiate a comprehensive update of Part 40 of our zoning code, known as the Residential Common Area Development Standards. Those are commonly referred to as plan unit developments, or PUDs, in this city, and they involve projects in the R2 and R3 zones where there's some kind of subdivision of the lot and some kind of common facility, such as a driveway. In providing the direction to staff, the council requested a review of the department workload and priorities to determine the timing of this amendment. Staff has completed that review, and we're providing alternatives tonight and a recommendation on proceeding. As discussed at last meeting, a comprehensive update to Part 40 will involve all parts of the current section, development standards, including minimum lot size, lot coverage, setbacks, parking standards, percentage of required open space, et cetera, in this process, free of charge.
Who is that local architect?
That would be Craig Smith.
Okay.
And as part of that, it would also it's also possible if you get some other design professionals or other people, developers, so we could have kind of good feedback from several different partners, if you will, in the community. So assuming the workshop concluded with clear direction to staff, staff would draft an ordinance, and we would prepare that for consideration by the Planning Commission and ultimately the City Council. As far as or in regards to the workload and the timing, staff is currently working on completing a number of projects as directed by the council as part of the adopted council goals and work program. The three primary projects you're familiar with, the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. As you know, the EIR is in process currently, and we expect to get to public hearings in early spring of next year. The Grand Avenue Master Plan, we have an administrative draft currently, tentatively scheduled for Planning Commission review in November and in front of the Council in December. And then lastly, the comprehensive update to the zoning ordinance. This is still projected to take another year and a year and a half to complete. It is basically an update working on a series of components. The first and the most important is to get the zoning map to the council tentatively again for December to bring the zoning map into compliance with the updated land use element. Just to touch on a couple other things that the council has talked about in the past as far as updating the zoning ordinance, more related to economic development, and that is streamlining, revising our use table, also revising the administrative section to, again, streamline the process. So all of those things are components of the zoning code update. In addition to those priorities, the city staff is dealing with state mandates. We have three code amendments that we're working on currently, the Water Efficient Landscape Ordinance, new building and fire codes, and a code amendment to accommodate homeless shelters. Again, those are all state mandates. Based on this workload analysis, staff is recommending the workshop to facilitate the amendment be scheduled for April or May of next year, and staff would then follow up and write the amendment and get that to the Planning Commission and Council in early fiscal year 12, which would be July. That schedule would enable the work to be conducted primarily by city staff with, again, the hopeful assistance of some community members in the design profession. If the council wanted to expedite that process as an alternative, a consultant could be retained. In that case, you're looking at, you know, an expedited, you know, 4 to 6 months to go through that process. But the estimated cost would be somewhere in the $12,000 to $15,000 range to hire that consultant. As a last alternative, the council could reprioritize some of these goals, and staff believes we could finish this in about 9 months as opposed to about the 12 months that we're projecting currently. So in conclusion, staff is recommending the first alternative, which is for the council to the council sooner.
Okay, because I thought originally the discussion was that it would be to the council in February. So are our timelines slipping? And if so, can you, you know, maybe that's a report you should give us in the next meeting. Timelines on the West Grand Avenue Master Plan. What do you anticipate that to be, Bruce?
We have an administrative draft right now. Again, Planning Commission meeting in November and to the council in December.
And then on this comprehensive update to the zoning ordinance, looks like you're talking about
the first,
a map revision.
The first section would be, I'll say, the easier map amendments. That would be also going to the Planning Commission in November and the council in December.
Okay. So that's why you feel confident that if we initiate this, we can do a workshop next spring, which falls after we've got these top three.
Right. I mean, based on the current and those also the other state mandated things, I mean, between now and the end of December, those are the biggest priorities. And then obviously after the fall, the first of the year with the admin draft, or the, excuse me, the public draft of the EIR coming back in and addressing those comments and, again, getting that to the council. So, you know, the goal here was really to make sure all those things are concluded, or if the beachfront lodge was right at the end, that we would immediately then move into the workshop and this next step, if you will.
Okay. Any other questions of staff?
No.
None?
No.
Okay. This again, this is a business item, but I will open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the council on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back. What's the pleasure of the council? Staff is recommending that we direct them to initiate the amendment process with a workshop to be held in April or May 2011, and then work to be completed in early fiscal year 12. Any discussion? Someone want to make a motion?
I have just a little bit of discussion. I remember being on the Planning Commission, and I know that projects have been a bit scarce. We've had one huge one. But I think it would be great to ask them to do a couple of special meetings if we need to move things forward. And I suspect they would be open to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's – I agree.
All right. So someone would like to make a motion?
Before we make a motion, one of the things I would like council to keep in mind, the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center and the West Grand Avenue Master Plan are two things that we don't want to slow down at all.
No.
So I think we've got to let staff know that those two items in particular, we don't want to slow that down at all. I'm very concerned about that.
I agree with you 1,000%, and that's why I... Mm-hmm. The waffling on the date of the Beachfront Lodge and Conference Center really concerns me. So that's why I'm asking staff to give us a report, because I'm not sure why things continue to keep slipping, and I'm not going to belabor the point tonight.
Okay.
But your point is well taken.
Okay, then I'm ready to make a motion.
Royal Grande City Council City took the lead on all of our behalfs in filing an application for the aerial truck that was done in advance of the current five cities authority having come into being, and one agency had to take the lead in that project. As you also probably recall, we received a sizable grant collectively. For the aerial truck, it amounted to $774,843. Should probably add that was one of probably a half a dozen grants of that size for an aerial truck that was given throughout the country. So it was a pretty significant award. The truck is currently under construction. It's my understanding that it will be here probably later this year. The actual cost of the truck is $925,607, which leaves a difference of about $150,764 that needs to be financed. The approach to this is that all three agencies would share actually in the financing of the truck. Once the truck financing was complete, then the title to the truck would go to the five cities fire authority. The reason that it isn't there now is simply the federal grant requirements required that the original applicant retain ownership of the truck through the financing period. So essentially, this will just take us through the end of that five-year period. Consequently, we're looking at a cost to the city of Grover Beach of $11,544 per year. This year, we believe with the savings of the that we'll see with the election and related expenses, we'll probably have sufficient funds without requiring an additional appropriation. Staff is recommending that the council enter into the cooperative agreement, and we'll go forward and see the truck arrive probably later this year.
Thank you for that staff report. Any questions of staff?
No.
Okay. Business item, let me open this to the public. Anyone from the public like to address the council on this item? Seeing then, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I'll move that we adopt the resolution authorizing the city to enter into the cooperative agreement with City of Arroyo Grande and the Oceano Community Service District, and authorize the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of Grover Beach.
I'll second that. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
Mayor Schultz?
Yes.
Councilmember Bright?
Yes.
Councilmember Myers?
Yes.
And Councilmember Peterson?
Yes.
Okay. We have no pulled consent items this evening. Council committee reports. Councilmember Wright, anything to report tonight?
No, I'm not prepared for that. Thank you.
On every week, she's done a Sizzlin' Summer Concert and Farmer's Market. She did a special 9/11 service. She worked, she and her department worked on the 9/11 service. Did I say that already? And the Stone Soup Festival. And then we've added these two other special events that we're going to talk about at short notice. And yet they still pull it off with a smile and man a department Monday to Friday and get out there all weekend and evening. So I just want to say a huge thank you to Kathy, because Kathy and Nora have knocked themselves out. And I really appreciate it. It's evident that they've really put their heart and soul into it. So thank you, everybody. It was a great event.
And I would echo those comments.
Thanks. I did have one other report on the Housing Trust Fund, and I guess this is appreciation night. They just keep chugging along. We keep hearing that state money might not come, it might be delayed, and somehow those two full-time staff at the Housing Trust Fund are managing to run this little department that is the best in the state, most successful in the state, most active in the state, and they just keep pulling in that money. They keep thinking it's not going to happen. They keep pulling it in from the state. They keep pulling it in from private donors, and they currently have another $3 million that they can loan on affordable housing, which when we met 6 weeks ago, we didn't think we were going to have it. So they just are doing a very good job for the county. So Housing Trust Fund is doing very well, too.
Okay. And Debbie, maybe the next time you have a meeting, if you could ask him to maybe provide a list of any projects in Grover Beach that they've helped fund to construction, that would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Councilmember Myers, you have anything?
I think I probably should report a bit on what's been happening with Zone 3.
Okay.
Kind of a little history, I guess. First, concerns that have been voiced by members of Zone 3 Advisory Committee and by the agencies that participate in Zone 3 the last year or so has related a whole lot to the fact that the costs have been passed through by the county, which is the agency that runs Lopez Water Supply, have been going up and up and actually have doubled somewhat over the last few years. And the concern is that the agencies should join together see what can be done about maybe stopping some of the bleeding and maybe to gain some control, a little more control, if you will, over what happens at Lake Lopez. And to that end, there's been some meetings where these issues have been discussed. As part of this discussion, a decision was made that the agencies would exercise its political muscle, if you will, a bit, communicate with the Board of Supervisors, who actually controls what the county does at Lake Lopez, basically, because they own the project, and see if something can't be done about all the costs that we're having to pay now that what am I trying to say? Something to do something about the cost that we're having to pay because we're now in this recession, if you will, and there's not enough money to go around. And we've had to raise our act, which is a contract and enforceable by the county, leaves the county in pretty much complete control under the contract about what happens out there. So the what we as an agency can do, what the Zone 3 can committee can do, is somewhat limited other than in a political way to in a forceful way just to show more interest about what's happening. And the latter is occurring. There has been more interest shown by particularly Pismo and Grover about what's happening out there. And I think things are changing. And it may be fortuitous that they're changing because one of the big issues about cost pass-through was the cost over the number of years on trying to meet the requirements imposed by the National Marine Fisheries to protect an endangered species, the steelhead salmon that's coming up Aurora Grande Creek. And that has caused many, many hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to process. Now, we have just recently learned from a report from the county that the National Marine Fisheries have finally apparently said that they reached a breakthrough, if you will, and there is going to be an end, apparently, to the Habitat Conservation Plan, that HCP, which will not halt immediately the cost, but greatly reduce the costs that have been incurring because of the great need to hire many, many consultants and produce many, many studies to try to get this plan approved by the National Marine Fisheries Group. There will be probably in the November meeting of the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, the representative from the National Marine Fishery who has come two or three times the last 6 months on invitation, and I personally observed that as he's comes and he's talked and we talk together, that things are getting more friendly and that they seem like we're moving someplace. So I have a high hope based on what I think I know that that big cost is coming to an end. There will still be associated costs because we will now have to go forward with the application to, with the county as the lead agency to satisfy the federal environmental act, if you will, for the HCP that's coming through. The marine fishery has invited the county to move forward with that. The county is starting to do that, hiring consultants to start that, which we as agencies will have to pay our fair share. But when we have done that and that is done, then the I believe the National Marine Fisheries will turn their attention to downstream, because the real problem from that point on is what's happening will be coming back to us, hopefully to be used next year. We tried to calculate that this morning, and it seemed like it's maybe $75,000. Do you have that figure, Mr. Peralta, in your head? It was batted around. I didn't quite understand what the total figure was, but
it appears that the Zone 3 operational cost will show a under expenditure of about $300,000 to $400,000, and our recommendation would be that at the Zone 3 board level, the zone push to have that money returned to the cities. We would get approximately 15% of that under as a credit towards this year's costs.
Yeah. Okay.
How much was that again?
About 15% of the $300,000 to $400,000. that's based on our share of the budget.
That's 45 to 60,000.
And I under I'm going to let you finish because I do have a question on that on top
but
of that.
But why don't you get that? Cause that's
well, because I noticed that one of the consent items did say we had a credit but didn't give the amount. Mm-hmm. And so of that 45 or 60,000, looks like about 23 right. or 24,000 has been obligated to do the to hire the firm right. to do right. the ongoing monitoring of the century wells.
Right.
So the real question then becomes the remaining credits, how would that be applied?
That could directly come back into as a revenue source. Well, it'll, how it'll be applied, it'll directly write down our expenditure to Lake Lopez for that the equivalent amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bob, you
yeah,
have anything else?
I'm not sure myself how that the app, that credit works because the contracts, if you read it over on page 25, so it gives the county the right to take this money and apply it down to operating cost and the debt service and then to various other things. And when it's all done, if they don't they don't have to, I don't think, say it's an operating cost and therefore we're going to return it to you, they can apply it to debt service or they can apply it to capital cost, I think. But I think Mr. Peralta has indicated that the POCHA will be made. We'll have Zone 3 take that and attack that problem at the next meeting and see what we can do with it because Zone 3 is our as a spokesman for our group and for these contracting people. So we do have a plan that maybe can address that. So that's the real report on that. There's a. I was going to try to educate everybody on what this contract said, but I'll be here another hour and a half.
Yeah,
so I
don't yeah. You'll be here alone another hour and a half.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But anyway, then there was issues about emergency water, but that's a separate issue. That's also very complex and probably shouldn't be discussed. But there's emergency water issues to. Created by the draft, of course, and by the board as a whole, will ever have the information if we don't have a workshop.
Okay,
Mayor, and it's I've been at it now for 2 years, and I still wind up confused when I try to talk about it because it's so complex. We need that to
okay.
do it. But maybe before I get out of here, and not to, I'll come back and help if I can.
Great. So then just to add to that, so for everyone's information, the mayors from the three cities met with the Zone 3 reps to express what our concerns were and what we would ask them to advocate on our communities at the meeting. And it really came down to trying to get a better control over costs because, as Bob and I both said, it's a straight pass-through cost. And so the county really... aren't necessarily advocating on our behalf for cost savings, and we need to really improve that situation.
Yeah.
And then we also need to find a way to go from just being advisory to have a little more authority on what budget, how the budget that gets approved. And then I'm encouraged to hear that the Habitat Conservation Plan will hopefully be moving forward, and that includes the environmental impact
yeah,
report, correct?
I really think it will, Mayor, that it will. It'll November when the rep comes, we'll have a real handle on where we are and where we're going.
Okay,
for
great.
The first time, maybe. But.
Good, and then I'll continue to work with Councilmember Myers and the city manager, and we can talk about how we come back to the group and figure out if we want to do a workshop and when that might be. So we can try and get a better handle on the situation with Zone 3 and water rates.
Now, Mr. Gary, of course, is a member of that Zone 3, and he has a better handle than I do on the history of this. So he'd be a good person to have at that meeting, too. So.
Very good. Thank you for that information. Mayor Pro Tem, do you have anything you want to report tonight?
I probably should comment. There have been several articles recently written about the sanitation district. I can only tell you that the board has made a decision regarding the budget, and we have eliminated the lab technician position at the district. It looks like it will save us probably $75,000 per year, And as you know, we're in a budget crunch like everybody else. I can tell you that a lot of our revenue comes from hookups within the district, and the revenue from that has dropped about 97%. So we've had a tremendous drop in revenue in that respect. We're still healthy as far as the district is concerned. We have a healthy reserve, and taking actions like this, we had a budget revision session, which is what prompted our move and prompted the articles that you've all read in the paper, which I can tell you have virtually no truth in what has been published in the local sheets. And I'd rather, because it is a personnel matter, I don't think I need to go into it any further than that.
I understand. And I don't have anything to report tonight. The San Luis Obispo Council of Governments is actually meeting on Wednesday, and we will be taking up the people participating, the Zolt docents. Typically said thank you to the city of Grover Beach for making the train possible. I know that there was a lot of people who filled out our clever little ticket that gave them a chance to win some fun getaway packages into our community, because we were trying to capitalize on not only giving the city better exposure, but getting some of those folks to come back and visit our community and spend money, and hopefully spend a lot of money. So well attended. Good job, Debbie. Good job to Kathy and the staff, and good job to the city manager and the city attorney actually came and did a stint. I think I'm trying to decide if he was – we were very good about making sure people had a ticket before they got on the train. And he received several compliments on his work ethic, and we'll leave it at that. The only other thing I did want to communicate to everyone is the last Grover Beach Beautification Day was September 25th, 2010, and I think we had anywhere between 20 to 25 people. The Grover Beach Rotary was out. The Mayor Pro Tem was out. We were very successful in clearing a lot at 4th and Grand, as well as clearing weeds and debris from 4th down to the ocean or down to Highway 1. And so the next day is scheduled for October 16th, and we're hoping that folks will put that on their calendars, because we want to go from not just removing debris or trash, but, you know, as this group starts to develop, we'll be talking about trying to put other enhancements, whether it's, you know, potted plants or things that will help us put our best foot forward in the beautification at minimal cost, because this really needs to be a community-led group. So I think we're off to a great start. And I'm going to leave the next one for the city manager, since you put it on the agenda. So city manager, report and comments.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you know, we have a big date scheduled for Thursday, October 7th, between the hours of 6 and 8 o'clock. We have a block party scheduled, actually, for the Grover Beach Walk celebration to encourage people to come downtown, take a look at the recently completed improvements in that area, and it will, in fact, be a party. As most of you know, the invitations have all been mailed out. I think probably everybody's received one. And there'll be music, and all of most of the merchants down there are participating and will be offering discounts. And it should be a great time to really celebrate.
Great. And I just want to add that not just a chance to celebrate and to view the improvements, but to really help the businesses down there. And that was really the main genesis for doing this. And so anyone that's watching this at home, hopefully you've received an invitation. Please come by. It doesn't have to be 6 to 8. Just come down, maybe have a meal at one of their restaurants, take a look in one of the retail shops, and let's do what we can to support them, the businesses down there. And I think ultimately we're going to try and do something to support other businesses along the Grand Avenue corridor. So thank you, City Manager. City Attorney, any reports or comments? Well, with that,